Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Welcome, everybody, to the LA Memorial Coliseum, where it's late at night, probably about midnight Central Time, only about 10 o'clock out here. I'm Tom Silverstein, and I'm here with Jim Osarski. We're both of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel here to start the JS Online and PackersNews.com Packers podcast. Jim, it's late, but it was kind of worth staying up.
It was. I think the Packers, get used to this. If they're going to play good teams or be in games, it's going to be like this. And it's, because they're not great, but they're not terrible. So,
what are they? What is
this 3-1.
Yeah, I guess, like they always say, you are what your record is.
Right.
I suppose that's the case. But let's get right into this game, because it was very entertaining. And there were a lot of things that came out of this game, I thought, that sort of speak to how the season has gone and where it might be going. Before we continue on, I'm just going to give a shout out to our sponsor. That is Pottawatomie Casino. Get on island time to win a Caribbean cruise at Pottawatomie Thursdays in October and November. You can find out more at paysbig.com/islandtime. All right, so let's continue. Let's start with the defense. And I thought they would come out and show Goff some different things, bring some different pressures, try to show him some different looks. Everything I've read and heard is that Goff is not really that great at reading offenses right now. McVay is leading him sort of by the leash into these things, and he's simplified the offense for him. And I thought Pettine made it tough for him.
Yeah, and I think a big part of that was the return of Jaire Alexander.
Huge.
And that allowed Tremont Williams to be used in different ways. Tremont was in the slot. He was used as a blitzer quite a bit. Jermaine Whitehead we saw as a blitzer, kind of a role for him. I think McVay did a great job in exploiting him in coverage, though, realizing that was the one coverage weak link. And that really kind of bit that secondary in the butt a little bit. But you're right, though. I mean, look, I've been saying this for weeks. 100 points allowed in the first half, 44 in the second. What is happening during the week that this group can't come out and start games? And here they go on a quasi-road game in front of many Packers fans. 33.5-point-a-game offense. MVP-ish guy and Todd Gurley, and they give up 6 points in the first half. It was really impressive.
Yeah, it was. I agree with your point about Alexander, and I think he brings an element where they can start playing more man coverage, and that really allows you to do a lot more things.
Yes.
If you're Pettine. You don't have to be as safe. I think Alexander was outstanding covering Brandon Cooks. He had 5 pass breakups.
Yeah.
He tackled really well. He had 7 tackles.
Yeah, I think there was a couple times they did get him on, but they were still well covered, but it wasn't, you didn't get the slip through at another 15 yards.
Yeah, and I mean, he gave up some completions,
right,
but that's going to happen to everybody. Kevin King played better than I saw him play last week or the week before. And so all of a sudden, and then you've got Tremont Williams, and all of a sudden, you're not afraid to blitz as much, and Pettine brought it. I mean, he kept Goff thinking. It looked to me like every third down he brought 7 guys up to the line of scrimmage and then just kind of made Goff decide which ones were coming. And the play of their defensive line was outstanding. Up until about the fourth quarter, I thought they started to wear down.
Yeah, I would agree there. You know, we spoke to the defensive coaches in the run-up to this game, and they all said, you know, you're going to see Montrevious Adams, you're going to see Tyler Lancaster. And I don't know if that was them kind of knowing it was going to be a little hot or them thinking they're going to be pushed with tempo, and but who knows. Whatever those little rest breaks were, mm-hmm. I mean, Dean Lowry, he was in the backfield. Mike Daniels was creating some pressure, and obviously Kenny Clark, I thought, had a great day as well.
Yes, he did. Yeah, I thought Clark was outstanding. And, you know, this also speaks to the lack of depth they have there. And like you said, I mean, Tyler Lancaster, you can throw him in there and he'll play the run. But Montrevious Adams, they just don't have anybody who can, you know, when those two guys are out, Dean Lowry is still a solid player. But they're playing those two guys way too many snaps, Clark and Daniels, and they're not going to be able to live up to that. And Daniels had a heck of a game. He was in the backfield a lot, but you could just see towards the end, you know, they were just wearing down. So
yeah,
I don't know.
And you know, it was the first I think defensively, aside from not getting turnovers, mm-hmm. Their best effort. I know there was a shutout against Buffalo, but this is who they were playing, kind of the stakes of the game. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was 27 points. I think three were gifted or five were gifted, basically. Mm-hmm. Some key stops. I thought Clay Matthews showed up.
Yeah, he did.
You know, played he a good really game. Played the run well after. I mean, we appropriately called him out for some really bad angles and you know, bad footwork against San Francisco. Mm-hmm. I thought they were really disciplined with those jet sweeps and those motions and all the things they talked about. It was the defense did enough to win the game.
Yeah, they did. And so here was a couple ways to look at it, in my opinion. One, yes, they did exactly what they needed to do. You know, they didn't stop the Rams from taking the lead late in the fourth quarter, but they held them to a field goal, and they gave Aaron Rodgers 2 minutes and 5 seconds to win a game, you know,
with a field goal. Yeah, not even having to go the full length.
I mean, I'll take that bet,
right?
You know,
right.
Against just about anybody.
I think every one of them thought they were taking that bet.
Yeah, and then Ty Montgomery, just the bonehead of all bonehead plays. We can talk about that some more later. But so anyway, my point was that they did do what they needed to do. Now, looking ahead, couple things. One, they had 2 weeks to prepare for the Rams. Two, this was the healthiest they've been all year. I mean, everybody was available to them. And then three, they played in front of a home crowd practically.
They did. Yeah.
I mean, the Rams had as much trouble at the line of scrimmage as the Packers
yeah.
did. So there was no concern about jumping off sides and all of that. One other element, I thought the refs let everybody play. You know, they didn't.
Did.
They just let these two teams slug it out and play. Didn't call many penalties at all.
No, it was very few flags. And you're right. Whether it be some late hits on the quarterback, but they allowed pressure and sack, a hit knockdowns to be carried out. And mentioned Jair Alexander. I mean, that was a big one on one. 50-50 ball in the end zone with Brandon Cooks.
Yes, right.
That, you know, you're just sort of instinctively looking for a PI or a contact.
Absolutely.
And it was and that was a big play. It was right after the Rams had to fake a punt to keep their offense going, and they took a shot.
Yeah.
They tried to make that play, and you're right, the officials, look, we're going to knock them all year, and they deserve it a lot of times, but I thought, you're right, they said, okay, let's let these two teams figure it out and play
exactly.
Out.
I mean, they let Alexander do some grabbing. They let some of their other Kevin King on that deep ball that he deflected. You know, he was doing some arm combat with with the receiver. I can't remember if it was Cooks or Woods or whoever it was.
Marcus Peters got his hands on Davante Adams, and I mean, yeah, they you know,
let him play. That right. To me,
it
that's,
was entertaining. It was probably one of the better games and more fat. You know, there were timeouts and those sort of stoppages, but pretty. I thought it was probably one of the smoother viewing games of the year.
Yeah,
you know,
four penalties.
Yeah,
for
that's
25
incredible.
Yards. You know, they didn't even call Clay Matthews on the sack. You know,
yeah.
As it turned out, it was a completely clean play.
Yeah,
wrapped him right around the shoulder. It looked bad, but
right.
They saw it correctly.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think what the bottom line on this is that it's a great step forward for the defense, but only if they come back next week and play that inspired and come back the week after that. Because I think this team is going to have to be a 50-50 team. They used to be a 70-30 team where they could win with 70% offense and 30% defense, but I don't think they can do that anymore.
Yes, I you know, it Ty Montgomery's fumble notwithstanding, this offense had several opportunities, especially in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they forced five Rams punts. And now granted, Johnny Hecker and Sam Shields, and there were three possessions inside the 20, a couple within the five. You don't expect to go 90 yards, but the Packers ran for -1 and punted three times.
Yeah.
And gave up a safety. You know, and then the free kick leads to a touchdown. I mean, you don't even get to midfield to flip the field position. We're not, you know, and when I think in years past, Tom, I think you're right. People are thinking, they can go 70 yards and try a field goal.
I mean,
and even late in the game, up one, chance to at least get a couple first downs, burn more clock,
mm-hmm.
three and out.
Yeah.
You know, incompletion, Aaron Jones run, third down, sack. And now all of a sudden it's going back. And I think that's an interesting question, Tom, is to say, okay, is this defense, if they remain healthy through this week, are they good enough to be 50-50?
That's what we're going to find out. Because I don't see the offense taking, unless McCarthy totally commits to Aaron Jones playing
right.
all the time, I don't think this is going to be a team that is going to be a blow-up offense. I don't think they have enough explosive wide receivers to do it. They've got Davante Adams. And, you know, Valdez Scantling looks like he's going to be a player.
Yeah, if he gets an open space, he can outrun guys.
Yep.
Equanimeous St. Brown, I'll give him some credit. His two catches, really key moments and difficult as well. I mean, they weren't great. I mean, right. One ball, it was a reach back and kind of. But you're right, though. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, I don't think, was very happy with me asking about Aaron Jones again. And you kind of, do you want that guy to play? And Aaron's like, I don't, that's not my job. But I mean, you know, this offense, I don't know. He had 43 yards rushing in the first quarter.
Yeah, 7.2, finished with 7.2 yards per carry. And the biggest stunner to me was that drive, I'm looking it up right now, it was in the fourth quarter. They come out 6:49 to go, first and 10 at their own 21, and Montgomery comes out.
Yep.
And they throw this pass in the flat. It probably was a play intended for him.
Right.
And the whole thing blows up. And there you go. Aaron Jones comes in the next play, runs for four, and then
Montgomery
Rodgers
was
gets
back
sacked.
In. Right. And that's.
Yeah, that's right. And Montgomery may have been the one who blew that sack.
So on that play, so on that specific third and sixth play, Corey Linsley said, so the Packers actually had to call timeout. They came out, and Linsley said, Wade Phillips presented a front they had not seen on film.
Mm hmm.
And basically they stood a linebacker up over Linsley. Aaron Donald was over Lane Taylor. And the pressure package there got Corey Linsley looking to his right, mm-hmm. which opened up a lane. I think Lane Taylor thought he was going to have help from his center because the way he went to block. And, I mean, Linsley owned it. He's like, they schemed up a way to get Aaron Donald a free release. And, yes, Ty Montgomery was over there, but he didn't go to Aaron Donald. He mm-hmm. he sort of hesitated and he ended up blocking another part of that pressure package, yeah. it was inconsequential. Yeah. I mean, because Aaron Donald was... Corey Lindsey said, look, they'd scheme that up. And he's like, you know, if we would have got the ball back, he's like, I think we would have... We talked about it. We figured out, okay, if this is what they're going to do.
Okay.
Well, so that specific play. But, yeah, Ty Montgomery was in, and he was part of the protection on
yeah.
that play.
And I don't... In that situation, I don't know why, as a back, you wouldn't go, okay, my first look is going to be at Aaron Donald. You know,
yeah.
I'm going to, well, you know, your first look is there a free rusher?
Right.
And if there isn't a free rusher, I'm going to go hit
right.
Aaron Donald.
Because clearly, and that happens so fast. Aaron Donald, I mean, that's why he is who he is.
Mm-hmm.
He just needed that little move of Corey Lindsey to look to his right and kind of turn with that pressure package. But again, Ty Montgomery was over on that left side of the line.
Yeah.
And I think you leave David Bakhtiari with a blitzer. You just, you know what I mean?
Yeah. He's your best offensive
right.
lineman.
Right. You know, it was a bad day for 88. We tried to talk to him, but he didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah, and the part that just puzzles me is that play Aaron Jones on first and second
right.
down and then make Jamal Williams and Montgomery your third down back. Montgomery now, I mean, I would have lost total confidence in him. I mean, McCarthy doesn't lose confidence in guys very often. If he can't, you know, lose confidence in Tony Brown after two stupid penalties,
right.
I mean, is he going to lose confidence in Montgomery? But stop thinking that you need to spread this out. Aaron Jones with one rush got you back in the game.
Right.
You know?
I get it. And look, I came... Spoon from a team, you know, in Cincinnati that had Jeremy Hill, who was almost a rookie of the year, ran for 1,000 yards, 5 yards a rush. They had Giovanni Bernard, that two back. They paid Giovanni Bernard as a top 10 player at his position.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, and then they draft Joe Mixon. And where I'm going with that is, so they had two guys, but they said it was a defined role. No. Your first and second down,
mm-hmm.
or if it's third and short, you keep the starter, quote-unquote, in.
Mm-hmm.
Giovanni Bernard's a very good player for what he is, but he's only coming in on certain plays. And I'll frankly say, Aaron Jones is that type of guy.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly a step above.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, I don't, if this is 7 weeks in, Tom. I don't know what else they can say that can justify.
I don't either. And, you know, they need a touchdown in the worst way. And who do they go to? They go to Davante Adams and Aaron Jones. I mean, those are your two top playmakers, hands down. And I understand, you know, there's plays where Jones made some mistakes, but limit him to the third down stuff. I mean, limit his play on third down and keep him in the game. It used to be with Eddie Lacy, they would keep him in the game, and then they'd spell him for a series. So James Starks would come in and take a series here and a series there. I don't understand why they don't do that with Jamal Williams.
And I think there's more than enough film that even if you do that, I don't think you're tipping your hand. I know that's probably always the...
No.
It's always the thing, right? Oh, if someone's this, you're sort of telegraphing what we're going to do. I think at this point, you know, those guys are who they are. You kind of know... Even if it's third and four, I mean, Jamal Williams can pick up a blitz, but they've thrown it to him.
Mm-hmm.
They've handed it to him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think they're going to do themselves any disservice by actually playing the guy who gets 5.5 yards a carry more.
No, it's not going to hurt you.
No.
I mean, it might hurt you on some passing downs. And there's some instances that Jamal Williams should be in the game. I think Jamal Williams is a good back.
I thought the goal line package... He should be in there.
Yeah, I didn't get that either. I thought he should have been in.
Right.
He had a better chance of getting some yards,
right.
although I'm not sure even he could have.
That particular run. So, yeah, the safety, but even on his one-yard touchdown run, I thought that was the right call to have Jamal Williams.
Yes.
Four tight ends and Jamal Williams.
Right.
To get a yard. That makes sense.
Yep. It sure does. Let's talk a little bit about Aaron Rodgers' game. You know, he's 18 of 30 for 286 yards and a touchdown. Not spectacular. I mean, I think he made a great call with Valdez-Scantling. I think, from what I read in the transcript, he said that he went to the sideline and they talked about whether to go with a go route or a stop and go, and Valdez said, go. And it was a great, great look. I mean, he looked away, and Scantling had a one-on-one, and that was a huge, huge play for a touchdown, 40 yards.
If only people knew how Aaron Rodgers developed that trust with Marquez Valdez-Scantling.
Yeah. And, you know, yeah, they would just have to pick up a journal something.
But, no, you're right. I'm curious your point of view on this, Tom. First half, okay, we saw four tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
Lance Kendricks into I formation, offset I.
Mm-hmm.
13 handoffs, 15 dropbacks. It was a pretty clear, they tried the play action. It worked. Jimmy Graham got open. You know, it was not spectacular, though. 120 passing yards, one rushing touchdown. Second half, I believe four handoffs, 20 dropbacks, four wide. You didn't see Mercedes Lewis, Robert Tonyan, or Lance Kendricks at all.
Right.
It was Jimmy Graham and three receivers. And then whatever running back was often a fifth option. Completely different.
Now, I have
How did you see that?
I have no problem with them doing that as long as Aaron Jones is still in the game.
Right.
Because, as you saw, and I think that was the case when he scored his touchdown, they ran a draw play.
Yes.
It was a draw play. And so,
yes, totally spread out. Yeah,
yeah, they spread out, and that's what you kind of want to do with Aaron Jones. So I don't have a problem with the personnel. Except for not giving the ball to Jones. I don't understand 8 carries in the first half and just 4 in the second. Now, I do think that the Rams were starting to load up on the run a little bit. They didn't want Jones to beat them. But it still did not...
Which is a hell of a thing to say when you have Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Like,
yes,
I mean, that is... I mean, what kind of compliment does that pay your offensive line and that particular running back?
Yeah,
if they're just like, you know, we it might be better to have 12 throw it.
Yeah, yeah, no question.
I mean,
I don't know.
Now, granted, the Rams, you know, Marcus Peters was back, still no Aqib Talib, but I mean, clearly they feel Wade Phillips is confident in his coverage, you know, so
yeah.
It was kind of, and maybe that was the game that was played. It was, oh, they're challenging us to beat them through the air, and the Packers did move the ball and score.
Yeah,
second half. You know, Aaron Donald mentioned post game that he thought Rodgers was holding on to the ball a little bit. Now he took that as credit to his coverage.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and he's been doing that all year,
right? I was gonna say, but that's kind of been a theme. So I'll be curious, as you know, looking back at the all 22s.
Yeah,
you know, if there were instances where he passed up, I don't think it was like Detroit though, where you clearly saw open.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Now, one thing that was kind of odd was that Cobb and Allison were active, but they didn't play that much. I'm interested to see how many snaps they got.
Right. Randall Cobb was an option early. There were a couple.
Yeah.
You know, get him some out in space moments, and
then they kind of. He disappeared. He had 5 targets, 4 catches, 40 yards. I wonder how much of that was in the first half. He had 2 catches for 28 yards in the first half, so it was split about the same. Allison only had 1 catch for 14 yards, and it was actually a really nice move. But, you know, maybe I don't know if that was their concession to playing Valdez, Scantling, and Brown, or they're just not ready. Those guys are still coming off hamstring.
That's injuries. A great question. I mean, you couldn't have asked for better weather in terms of loosening up. You know, I mean, it wasn't really that hot. It was a perfect fall day. You know, not cold. I mean,
82 degrees.
Yeah, so in terms of loosening up muscles, but, you know, I'd be curious to hear from Coach McCarthy if that's more of a nod towards St. Brown and Valdez-Scantling. And as we just said, Aaron Rodgers is talking with MVS about what route do you want to run. They score a 40-yard touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
And again, St. Brown with a couple of big pass receptions of his own.
Right, right. Yeah, he's an interesting guy. We're going to have to keep, you know, he's going to keep developing, I think. And he's sort of, I think, picking up the slack where Jimmy Graham, I'm sure they were hoping Jimmy Graham would be, and he had a nice touchdown, but, you know, he's just, either he's getting covered well, or he just doesn't have what he had before, and Scantling seems to be taking advantage, whatever the case it may be. One thing I thought of was that might be interesting is if we graded the positions, or just not graded, but weigh who got the advantage. Who would you say had the better day? So on offense, let's look at the rushing game. Who would you give the advantage to, Rams or Packers? So Rams rushed 34 times, 135 yards. Gurley had 114 on 25 carries. Jones had 86 yards on 12 carries. Team had 10 for 106 with two TDs.
Yeah. You know, Gurley, I'll give Sean McVay credit for being pretty patient with his run game. I thought the Packers did a good job. I think there was that 23-yard run on 3rd and 6 late in the game. Mm-hmm. Some breakdowns in the run D there that really – and then the fumble – you know, Gurley had another long run. So I think his total yardage is not really as indicative to how tough a sledding it was for him. I mean,
I guess
lead back to lead back, it might have been fairly even.
I think where I'm going to give the Rams the advantage is that Gurley caught 6 passes for 81 yards on a touchdown.
Yeah, McVay definitely found, hey, let's utilize him against Jermaine Whitehead, especially at the end of the first half to really get the Rams offense going.
Yeah, but I guess we were talking about run game. We're just limiting to that. That's a tough call because Jones had that 33-yard touchdown. It's pretty even. To me, I'd have a hard time picking one over the other. Quarterback, Rodgers versus Goff. Rodgers was 18-30, 286, 3 sacks, 1 TD, 102.9. Goff was 19-35, 295, 5 sacks, 3 touchdowns, 111 rating.
I think
this is a push.
It's pretty close, which is surprising, and honestly, if we're calling that a push, that's why the Packers lost the game. Because Aaron Rodgers shouldn't push with anybody.
True.
If this team is going to win games, and quite frankly, if he's playing the way you expect him to play or the offense to play, that's, again, Tom, you know, fumble notwithstanding, there were plenty of opportunities for this offense to, if not score points, to have at least run more clock, get a first down, get 2 first downs and punt, that they couldn't even get 10 yards sometimes when it mattered in key moments in the first half and the third quarter.
Yeah. Okay, receivers. So Adams was the best statistically, 5 for 133. Gurley was the best for them, 6 for 81. Robert Woods was 5 for 70. Brandon Cooks, 3 for 74. Josh Reynolds comes out of nowhere to catch 2 touchdowns, 3 for 42. Cobb, 4 for 40. Scantling, 2 for 45. St. Brown, 2 for 31. Graham, 1 for 21. Allison, 1 for 14. I don't know. I'm kind of thinking this is a push, too. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll leave. I think there's an advantage to the Packers in this one, Tom, and I think it's because Sean McVay has to scheme his guys open. This is the thing you talked about a little earlier in this podcast about Jared Goff and sort of, you know, he's still sort of being led to certain throws. Mm-hmm. And I think Sean McVay had to work real hard to get certain matchups because coverage was really good. You mentioned the Reynolds kid. I think that was a clear – that one short touchdown with Ha Ha Clinton Dix in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, look, credit to Sean McVay. But I think that's – I don't think that kid is catching that touchdown if Tremont Williams is over there. Like, I think they set things up for those guys, for those throws. Again, I think that's a coaching thing. I give Jared Goff credit that, you know, whatever. But I think Packers receivers were able to get open or win, if that's the case. So I give slight edge to the Packers, in my opinion.
Offensive line, I think this is going to be a push in my mind, too, because on the one hand, Packers, I thought, did not play very well in terms of handling Donald. I mean, you're not going to stop him, but Brockers hurt him. There was a lot of pressure. But on the other hand, Goff was under pressure all day long.
Yes, he was running. So he was sacked 5 times. He had 5 rushes, and mm-hmm. I don't believe any of those were designed.
No,
I believe all of them were pressure created scrambles.
Right.
I'd say it's a push, which I think in a game like this, when you're talking about what hundreds of millions of dollars and however many all pros from Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh, and Brockers is a legit. I mean, he had 21 career sacks coming into this game. He's a legit, very good NFL player, and obviously, running 3.4s, that's kind of it for D linemen,
right?
I thought Wade Phillips. I don't know. I thought I have to go back and listen to the broadcast, Tom. The one sack for Donald, the Packers insisted there was a whistle blown, and they all kind of just stopped. And Corey Linsley said, he's like, even Aaron Donald, he sacked Aaron Rodgers, but he kind of tried to pull up in some way, and they kind of felt they were something happened there. They didn't know if it was an actual whistle or a fan whistle or something, but made them stop. But they felt they protected well enough.
Which one was
that? That was the first sack on 3rd and 2 early in the third quarter that resulted in the 53-yard Mason Crosby field goal.
Yeah.
Where Aaron Donald again looked like a free runner,
mm-hmm.
and they insisted there was a whistle, and they all kind of stopped.
Was that the one where Cobb was like signaling, and then Rodgers was signaling?
Yeah, there was a weird something happened there, and I think that's what they were hearing something.
Yeah, because didn't the officials meet after that? I think
to see if any of them actually blew a whistle.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, it might have been. Okay.
So I mean, and they got a field goal out of it, but that was a 3rd and 2, and I guess. So you're right. I think if we're calling that a push, D line wise, that's mm-hmm. I think a win for the Packers.
Yeah,
to a degree.
Yeah, I mean it's close.
Right.
It's close. I mean we were talking more about offensive line, so
yeah.
I think
that's true. Yeah,
it's close. It's close enough that I don't know that I have an advantage.
Right.
I think really what it comes down to, kind of, and this was my point in doing this, is that it came down to special teams. Johnny Hecker by far outpunted J.K. Scott. Scott had a chance to put one inside the 20, and he didn't.
Right.
At the goal line, and Hecker did.
Yes.
3 inside the 20, 2 inside the 5.
Tremendous.
Awesome punter.
And then when the one time you need the kid to actually make a punt.
Yeah.
And whatever happened on that 25-yard.
What did he say? I don't.
Yeah, he did talk. I'll give JK credit. I did not hear it. It is in the transcript. He did speak on it.
Okay.
But he
was 42.8 gross, 38.4 net. Hecker was 45.1 average, 43.3 net. But it was inside the 20. And then, Sam Shields, of course, does them in with some great special teams play. They have the fake punt, which was tremendous call. Josh Jones lost his head on that one and didn't really follow the guy. I'm pretty sure it was Josh Jones. And then the Montgomery fumble.
Right.
So I guess you'd have to say that special teams is a difference probably in this game.
Yeah, Mason Crosby seems fixed. So I guess there's that.
Yeah.
Real quick, as you were breaking that down, J.K. Scott just flatly, he said he just mishit it. Yeah,
okay.
And that's, essentially put him in field goal range with Greg Zuerlein anyway on a 25-yard punt. Yeah, again, this goes back to the start of this podcast, Tom, when we said, what is this team? And when you can maybe feel good, like, oh, the Rams are the class of the NFL or the class of the NFC at home, all, top 7 defense, top 3 offense, and look at, we were winning or we could have won, but but that's still not a 60-minute football game.
Yeah.
That's a 54-minute football game where you only had a one-point lead. You couldn't get a first down when it mattered. You couldn't, you know, whatever the protection issue was, whatever the special team. I mean, you know, the defense, as we said, did enough to win, but on 3rd and 6, Todd Gurley ran for 23 yards.
Right.
I mean, so it's still not the complete effort.
No. And, you know, they had a chance here. This is a golden opportunity. And it won't mean a lot unless they play well at New England. And, you know, I wrote in my column on Sunday, they didn't need to win here. They certainly had a chance. They don't have to win at New England, but they got to play at least like they played today.
I'd agree
and give
with
them
that.
A run.
I'd agree with that because it's they should be, in my opinion, they're a better team than the Dolphins anyway. That's at home. Short week to Seattle. We know and whoever with injuries, that's a tough place. But I think you're right. If you play like 54 minutes doesn't beat the Rams. 54 minutes is not going to beat New England. 54 minutes can probably beat everyone else.
Right.
On their schedule.
Right. And you hope if you can get some teams at home towards the end that you have the home field advantage. And they definitely won't have the home field advantage in New England like they did here. But it's just a matter of building. You have to build towards the easiest part of their schedule, which is in December, so that they can get on a roll and win six times in a row. So we shall see. And so I'll remind you that our sponsor is Pottawatomie Casino. Thursdays at Pottawatomie, win a Caribbean cruise during the Island Time giveaway this October and November. Remember, paysbig.com/islandtime. Be sure you get on there and give yourself a chance to win a cruise. All right, so we're going to go catch a flight and be home so we can start the week all over again back in Green Bay. So from Memorial Coliseum, I'm Tom Silverstein. This is Jim.
Yeah.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
We'll talk to you next time, and I'll get the music started. Have a great week, everybody.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.